We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Brian, as we know, despite some improvements, Rhode Island still has among the highest unemployment rates in the nation. What do you think the General Assembly should do in this session to try and help improve the economy?
It's a broad question, and let me answer it this way. When you're in the minority party or the opposition party in any situation, you're always asked, what would you do differently? And that's something that I think Republicans in Rhode Island have done a poor job over the years enunciating what we would do differently. I think that there's no silver bullet to fixing Rhode Island's economy. You just have to make a climate that business people and people who invest money actually want to do business in. And you do that not by passing one law. You do that by making changes all over the place. Now, I don't want to say, the Senate last year had their moving the needle package. I was not impressed with a lot of the items in the package. But the concept was correct. And one of the things that we're working on this year, and we're going to roll it out over the course of the next few months, is a series of initiatives that if we were in charge of the chambers, we would try to pass through. And I would say to you, a lot of them may sound small ball, some will sound bigger. It's not that each one by itself will fix our economy. It's the constellation of things. As I likened it before, the problem with Rhode Island's economy is that our government is like, it's like barnacles on a ship. You scrape the barnacles off, the ship is going to run a lot better. That's what it comes down to.
Usually in election years, the General Assembly tries to get out quickly, but there are a host of very thorny issues this year, ranging from the possible fallout of pension mediation, 38 studios, Sakonnet tolls. What's the mood among lawmakers as you prepare to reconvene next week?
There's a lot of splits among the Democratic majority, as there always is, but they seem to get more personal, more nasty these days. There's also questions about how long the speaker is going to stay in that tenure. Whether he will run for re-election or not. I know he said he's going to, but of course he's going to say that. So my sense is that the Democratic leadership wants to get out of Dodge as quickly as possible. That does not necessarily bode well for the state. Doesn't mean we're going to accomplish anything. But you're asking about political realities. My guess is that's what they're going to try to do.
Let's go to Scott.
There's been an awful lot of talk from the business community and the conservatives about the sales tax. What do you think we can do about that?
I was one of the first people last year to talk about getting rid of it. And then Representative Malik jumped on with the bill that I co-sponsored, that we actually drafted it, put it in to get the study commission. I know that the commission has done a lot of work looking into it. Basically, it boils down to whether or not you believe that reducing or eliminating the sales tax will lead to economic growth. I do. There's been some countervailing opinions to the contrary. And then the question, of course, is, as people say, well, how do you afford doing it? Now, I don't take the view that in government you take your baseline spending and if you cut a tax, you say, how do you pay for it? But the reality is that our sales tax brings in so much revenue. If we reduce it, even if in the long run it leads to economic growth and additional revenues in other areas, which I believe it will, in the short run it won't. So you do need to find offsetting spending cuts or things of that nature. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't think you're going to see dramatic change in it this year, but a lot of things in government take years to pass through. The idea is out there. It's percolating. People are looking at it seriously, and so that's what.
How about the idea of extending the bottom and lowering the top?
It's funny. There's a bill that I co-sponsored, Representative Edwards' bill, a couple years back that did that to a large degree. It significantly lowered the rate, unlike Governor Chafee's proposal of the same year, which lowered it by 0.5% or something like that. A lot of people got confused by that. They were yelling at, what are you doing? I said, no. What we were doing was revenue neutral. He was trying to raise taxes. Conceptually, I don't have a problem with it. I do know that one of the problems with sales tax, particularly in the service industry, is how do you collect it, particularly with services crossing state lines. Goods are fairly easy. Services are not. And you're putting a burden on businesses that don't already have one. So that's the problem. It's an interesting concept, but I'd rather see the whole thing reduced.
We're talking here with House Minority Leader Brian Newberry. Brian, every couple of years we see a Republican who doesn't have a real shot run against a Democrat like Jack Reed. Would it make more sense for the GOP to focus instead on the governor's race, the General Assembly, and perhaps a race like Attorney General, where State Senator Dawson Hodgson is certainly a very credible candidate?
I personally think it would. Some people would say if you don't run a candidate for a major office, you're giving up. What kind of party are you, et cetera? I understand that philosophy. But if you are the size we are in the position we're in, you have limited resources and limited quality candidates. I think it's better to focus on those issues that you have a better chance of winning. You have to start somewhere and build up. And certainly at the federal level, there's a vast difference between what goes on in Washington and also what the people of the state think about what goes on in Washington versus what they think about what goes on in Rhode Island. You know, Obama won my district both times while I was winning easily both times. Obviously, it shows a split electorate. I'd rather focus on the governor's race, the AG's race, the Secretary of State's race, and most importantly, because let's say the power in the state lies in General Assembly, and that's really what needs to change.
And what other Republicans do you expect to run for general offices this year other than Attorney General and Governor?
Yeah, I've heard rumors. I haven't talked to her personally. I've heard rumors that Kathryn Terry Taylor may run for an office. I'm trying to think what else is out there. That might be Secretary of State, maybe Lieutenant Governor. I'm missing something. Attorney General, we have a candidate for that. Governor, we have a candidate for that. I'm forgetting one.
On gun registration, the frittata in Exeter, what do you think we learned from that special election?
I think that the gun rights, the pro-gun side, made a major mistake in turning it into a gun issue, because at the end of the day, I don't think it was a gun issue. As my daughter said to me when she heard about it, and she's very pro-gun, she's very pro-Second Amendment, she said to me, well, I disagree with what the council did, but I think recall elections are ridiculous. That's what elections are for. And I think at the end of the day, in a small town, I live in a small town, people vote for people, and they don't like the idea of someone getting recalled over a policy issue, regardless of what they think of the policy issue.
Right. In other words, it has to be some kind of personal, criminal, ethical type of thing before you interrupt the normal flow of elections.
Yeah, I think that's what recall elections should be for, period. But I also think that that's probably, I mean, I don't live in Exeter, but that's probably what the voters thought. They probably said, hey, you know what? I may not agree with what they did, but why are we doing this?
You mentioned House Speaker Gordon Fox, and he has told me that he plans to seek re-election this year. What difference does it make in terms of the timing of when he gives up the speakership?
I think, and this doesn't just apply to Rhode Island or the House, if you are a legislative leader of any kind, the instant you say you're not running for re-election, your power evaporates. So you can't even, I don't know what Gordon's plans are. I'm not going to ask him. I can't read his mind. However, even if he does plan to retire at the end of his term, he's never going to say that until he's gotten through whatever legislation he has to get through. That's how I read that.
Right. Why make himself a lame duck, in other words?
Exactly. Yeah.
And some people believe Majority Leader Nick Mattiello has the inside track to succeed Fox. Do you agree?
How do you define inside track? Because it seems to change. I mean, I obviously keep tabs on this. I talk to a lot of the Democrats. It changes over time. I personally don't have a favorite in the race. I will tell you that I hope that the Republican votes make the difference in the speaker's race. Even if they don't, I think the next speaker, who will probably be a Democrat, will want our support for a variety of reasons. And we will go with the speaker who we think will be the best from our position, whoever that might be.
I know one of your gubernatorial candidates, Ken Block, seems to have made the master lever a huge issue. He's talked about it for a long time. You know, Rhode Islanders split their tickets. You just gave us, Leader Newberry, a perfect example of where, in your own district, North Smithfield, they voted for you, Republican, relatively conservative Republican, and they also voted for a center-left person for president, President Obama. So is there really a need to get rid of the master lever?
This is one of my personal pet peeve issues as well, and has been for years. There is, but not for a lot of the reasons some people think. The big problem with the master lever is it causes chaos in the local elections. And if we had more time, I could explain it.
You mean the nonpartisan school committees, those kind of things?
Not just nonpartisan, even the partisan elections. Because what happens is if you vote partisan for, say, four Democratic council candidates in Burrillville, and you select one Republican candidate, you cancel all four Democratic votes.
Brian Newberry, you talk about the importance of Republicans focusing on the General Assembly. As it stands, there are only 11 GOP members of the 113-member legislature. Will it be any different in this election year in terms of trying to increase Republican ranks, and if so, why?
I think our biggest obstacle in this particular election year is recruiting quality candidates. If we do that, I think we're going to have a pretty good year, relatively speaking. I'm not suggesting we're just going to take over the chamber, but the 2 years that Obama was on the ballot, we got decimated. He just had a lot of coattails for whatever reasons. But even 2004, the presidential election that year, Republicans, I wasn't in the legislature at the time, but Republicans picked up seats in that presidential year. So there's certainly a national wave building a year out. That will spill over into the state, but we need to get quality candidates. We have the infrastructure. I think we'll have the money, and we've got the issues to run on, but we need good people to step up and run in the right districts.
We've talked a lot about the 38 Studios fiasco. How big an issue do you think that could be for some of your Republican candidates?
As I said, I think it's a big issue for anyone, any incumbent legislator that votes under what we know currently to repay the 38 Studios bonds. That should be a number one issue, because there's been no justification made by anybody other than just speculation as to why we should pay them. Really, it's ridiculous. If you think about what's been going on, we just voted $2.5 million last year for no reason. We're going to vote $12.5 million this year for no reason. If you give me a reason, I'll step up and tell my constituents we got to do it. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen exactly the opposite.
Are there things the state should be doing that it isn't to ward off the looming possibility of a big cut in gambling money due to increased competition from Massachusetts?
Well, the state, you know, when we passed the bond that went on the ballot back in 2012 to allow Twin River to expand in Newport Grant if they'd voted in Newport, we saw the analyses, and the projections were that we were going to lose revenue. Obviously not all of it. We're going to lose revenue over time if Massachusetts got up and running in casinos. We can't control what Massachusetts does. So your question really is, are there things the state should be doing to rein in state spending, protect our revenue sources? Yes, there are, but they go well beyond gambling.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And House Minority Leader Brian Newberry.
Thank you.